Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens, at the heart of Irish homes for over 40 years. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Email todaycb@rte.ie.
Now, as the dust settles on the wider European Parliament election results beyond our shores, many questions remain about what the next term of the Parliament might look like. And while far-right and nationalist parties have made gains, the centre-right also performed well, holding its position as the largest grouping and managing to gain seats. For more on all of this, I'm joined on the line by Donal O'Bacon, who's Professor of Politics at the School of Law and Government at DCU. Good morning, Donal.
Good morning, Claire.
So we have, as we know, and we've been talking about in detail here, counting continuing in Ireland in two constituencies, but we do have a full picture of how voting went across Europe. Is it fair to say the big political impacts have been in France, where we have a general election called, and in Germany? Or for you, have there been other notable surprises?
I'd say the biggest surprise is that there isn't any big surprise. It's more or less consistent with what we had in the last election, with some minor changes, with some politically important changes. But the big takeaway is that the three largest parties going into this elections, the three core parties of the centre, you might say, remain the three largest parties at the end of this electoral process. They are the European People's Party, which is the party that Fine Gael is attached to. It would consider itself to be right of centre. Progressive Alliance of Socialists and Democrats, they came in second. They would be the party that the Labour Party in Ireland would be attached to. And then you have the liberal kind of centrist Renew Europe, which came in third. And that's the party that Fianna Fáil would be attached to in the Irish sense. And those three parties together will get about 400 seats in the 720-member parliament. And that, for me, is perhaps the biggest potential surprise, because I don't think that going in, people thought that they would remain so unscathed. Now, there have been gains for the right, but again, the right and the populist right are divided among themselves. The biggest grouping still is the European Conservatives and Reformists. That would be the best-known party in that grouping would be Giorgia Meloni's Brothers of Italy, but there would also be the Polish Law and Justice Party, for example, the Sweden Democrats. They come out with a small gain of about four seats, coming up to about 73. And then you have the one that everybody talks about. This is the far-right Identity and Democracy. Marine Le Pen, of course, the best-known leader there. She made a breakthrough in France, topping the polls there. The Austrian Freedom Party did the same in Austria. But they haven't quite made the breakthrough that everybody expected. They'll come out more or less with a small gain, about nine seats, bringing them up to 58. It would have been more impressive had Alternative for Deutschland, Alternative for Germany, had they remained in that grouping, but they were expelled from that political grouping because of controversial comments that one of their leaders made about the SS recently. They gained in Germany. They took an extra six seats, bringing themselves up to 15 and second place. So Identity and Democracy would have taken an additional 24 seats. But as I said, Alternative for Deutschland are now in that large group in the European Parliament, about 100, which are non-aligned and looking for a political home.
Mm-hmm. So we haven't had this wave of far right across the board that maybe some had predicted. But is it fair to say that the centre is somewhat slimmer after this election? And what does that mean for the future?
It's absolutely true to say that it's slimmer. And you might say that that is also a consistent theme, that the centrist establishment parties have been dwindling, you know, a little bit at every election. In terms of what it means for the parliament and its focus, I think that we'll see perhaps a less ambitious focus on environmental measures, because the big losers in this election, it has to be said, are the Greens. They lose about 18 seats. They'll be down to 53. Renew, which I already mentioned, have also lost seats, kind of the liberal centrist group. So I think that that will have some impact on the momentum behind, measures to tackle climate change. And the fact that there has been, as I said, modest steps made and symbolically important ones by the far right, I think that will also put pressure on the mainstream parties not to make any bold measures that might be seen as encouraging immigration.
Now, let's look ahead to the 16th of July and to Strasbourg and when the Parliament meets. What is in the order of business? What's first up?
I think first up will be the divvying out of positions. And the big question, of course, is whether Ursula von der Leyen will retain her position as president of the European Commission. It still is the most likely outcome. Her party, the European People's Party, they did emerge as the winners. They've been constantly stressing that. They portray themselves as an anchor of stability. She has, of course, garnered controversy in recent times, most notably for her support of Israel. And that has made her, you know, less favorable towards some elements, including parties that have supported her in the past. So she has been reaching out to other parties looking for support. But the problem for that is that if she moves too much, we'll say, for example, towards the Greens, she may alienate her right-wing supporters. If she moves too much to the right, to Giorgia Meloni, for example, she may alienate her liberal and left supporters. So, but she still is the most likely person to emerge as European Commission president. The other key position are President of the European Parliament. Most likely that will be Malta's Roberta Metsola. She's also European People's Party. She's currently in the position as well. And then the kind of wild cards that are being circulated now in Brussels as I speak, Portugal's António Costa is being mentioned as European Council President. So he'd be taking over from Charles Michel. He's a long-term, three-term Prime Minister of Portugal from the Socialists. So the second largest party. And then finally, and this would be a rather bold move, foreign policy chief, the person most mentioned is Kaja Kallas, who is the Prime Minister of Estonia. She's from Renew. She's 47 years old. You know, if she took this position, I think we could expect a more robust position on Russia, because Estonia is a small country, smaller than Dublin in population. It's on the borders of Russia. It's very paranoid about the prospect of a Russian invasion. So she taking over the position of foreign policy chief would not only be, of course, a victory for small states and for Central and Eastern Europe, who often think they're overlooked, but it would also, as I said, be you know, a symbol of a more robust policy towards Russia.
That would address those complaints that we have had from Eastern European members of the EU, that they are overlooked and that the power is centralised around France and around Germany and those very big, powerful countries. Is there a sense now, given the fear around the far right in particular, that you need to spread the power in Europe in that way?
I think there is, and certainly would be, as you said, symbolically important. I think the most important position held by a Central and Eastern European figure has been Donald Tusk. Of course, people will remember him as president of the European Council in the past. But Poland is a big country. It's the most populous in Central and Eastern Europe. So, as I said, it has a dual kind of victory of being, you know, one for small states and one for Central and Eastern European states. And there is, you know, the far right have made their most, you might say, symbolically important advances in France and in Germany. And the Franco-German, you might say, alliance has been the bedrock of European Union progress. But I think, yes, there is a feeling that it needs to be spread around. And also, when it comes to European values, it shouldn't really matter whether you're from a small country or a big country. It's all about choosing the right person. But there is also, of course, politics involved. I mean, those individuals I mentioned to you are all from those three big centrist parties that I mentioned that emerged, you know, victorious from this election. So there is also about, there is also a pragmatic kind of divvying up of positions as well.
Donika, thank you very much. Donika O'Bacon, Professor of Politics at the School of Law and Government at DCU.